back. Second hour of the American Awakening. Your host, Michael Herzog, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my special guest, Mark Weber. Phone lines are open, folks. 800-313-9443. You can feel free to call and put your two cents in. We got a couple of callers on the line already. Mark, you want to go to them? Hello, Mark.
Hello.
Yeah, I got a couple of callers. I'm gonna. You want to start taking calls?
Right. That'd be fine. Yes. That'd be
all right. Let's go to Gary in Michigan. Gary, you're on with Mark and Michael. Go ahead.
Hi, Mike. Yeah, I've got a question for your guest. You were talking about the electors, and I'll just briefly explain my understanding of the process because, well, today, of course, is the Michigan primary, and I went out and voted for Mr. Paul. But my understanding is that each state is designated a certain amount of electors, of which these electors are not necessarily obliged to vote in the same manner as the popular vote. And who are these electors? Who assigns them? And so how can we really trust how they're going to vote?
Right. Every state is assigned a number of electors based on how many U.S. senators and how many members of the House of Representatives they have. So that Wyoming has one representative and two senators, so it gets three electoral votes. California gets many more because it's the most populous state. Now, the way that the original Constitution was meant and written, the public was supposed to vote for people in their own state, in their own area, for men that they thought should be, quote, electors. And those men were supposed to get together and then quietly decide and debate and then choose a president, a chief executive of the United States. Now, what's happened over the years is that instead, when we go into the voting booth in November every 4 years and vote for a president, we're technically not voting for the president. We're voting for electors who are pledged to support that president. Now, there's been several court cases over the question of whether the electors are legally bound to select the person they've pledged to or not. And that varies from state to state, the rules on that. And sometimes, occasionally, an elector will refuse to vote for the person he's already been pledged and has done that. Now, what happens is each party assigns the electors. These are men and women who each party designates, or the candidate designates, as the person who are pledged to vote for that candidate in the November election. So, for example, in the last election in 2004, George W. Bush is the candidate of the Republican Party, and so the Republican Party and George Bush just say in each state, here are the people who will be the electors. Usually, it used to be that their names appeared on the ballot, but nowadays the names of the electors don't even appear on the ballot. But the basic point I was trying to make here isn't whether the electors are how it's done today. It's the point that the original founding fathers did not want the public directly voting for president because they were afraid that America would be run increasingly as a so-called as a democratic country in which the mass of people would decide who the leaders are and that they would be easily swayed by manipulation, propaganda, bribery. And in fact, that's what's happened, I think. But anyway, that's the situation about the Electoral College. Very few people, by the way, even know any of this. They just assume that our form of government constitutionally is a mass liberal democracy and that people are supposed to, according to the Constitution, vote directly for president, and that's not true.
Well, I'm still just a little unclear as to how these electors get chosen, and are they or are they not? You said they're committed to their candidate, but that's right. Not necessarily reflective of the popular vote. Is that correct?
Well, both that and, yes. Well, it's not reflective of the popular vote because in our system of government, in our system now, a winner takes all the electoral votes from each state. So it's possible then, as happened in 2000 and in the year 2000, to win more votes around the country but not have them distributed in such a way that they win.
I got to stop. We've got to go to a break. We'll be back in three. I'll hold you over, and then we'll go to Cage, and we'll go to Jeff. Be back.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Talking the American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my special guest Mark Weber. And okay, let's see. We have got Gary still in Michigan. Go ahead and close out on that. I'm sorry I had to cut you guys off, but go ahead and close out.
Okay, thank you, Michael. It just seems to me that a vote is really—it's kind of a sham if we don't know who these electors are. These anonymous people that supposedly they're not subject to the same undue influences that the common vote was, or that they have integrity. No one knows who these people are, and they have the job of actually choosing the president, yet nobody knows anything about them, at least not in the public.
Sir, every year...
One final thing, another thing that Ron Paul stands for that's actually making us less free, it seems to me, is this whole issue of the Federal Reserve and our central banking, and maybe he can comment on that. Thank you.
Well, a couple of things.
Go ahead.
A couple of things. I mean, you can find out who the electors are. They formally meet every January, every 4 years, and dutifully vote whoever they're pledged to already support. Their names are published. It's not a secret. They're selected by the political party in each state. They say, okay, these are going to be the electors. In some places, the names of the electors are actually written on the ballot, but in most of the United States, they're not. But with regard to this larger issue, If the Constitution is the guarantor of our greatness and the spirit of freedom used to be so strong, what happened to make it to get us into the situation we are today?
They've stepped all over it, Mark.
Well, sure, but the American public allowed it. They've allowed it.
I know. Listen, we've got callers. Let me go to another caller here, okay? Let's go to Cage in Indiana. Cage, you're on with Michael and Mark. Go ahead.
Well, hey, Mike,
Yes.
Real quick, I have a question and a follow-up comment, but I just want to make a prediction on Michigan, if I may, real quick.
What part of Indiana are you from, Cage?
Indianapolis.
Oh, that's exactly where I'm going Thursday.
Well, we'll be looking for you. But I really honestly think, because all the talk is, and there is an extremely low turnout in Michigan, and I look for Paul to be right up there in third place at between 12% and 14%, and just a prediction I wanted to throw out there. But anyway, real quick question and a follow-up comment, if I may, with your guest. Mr. Weber, I do respect you, totally. Anyone who stands up to the truth about World War One and World War Two and certain aspects of it, man, they definitely have my respect. But at the same time, I was a subscriber to the Spotlight and a member of Liberty Lobby for over 10 years. And I think that there was a real kind of a petty, personal thing that got dragged out in the court, and you were pretty much a main instigator in it, and it led to the shutdown and the liquidation of Liberty Lobby and the Spotlight. And you know what? Whatever your differences were personally with Willis Cardo or anyone else, you know, to have that organization shut down the way it was, I don't know.
Sir, I understand. You may know that a settlement has been reached ending the dispute, and I'm not permitted to even talk about it. So I'm, as part of the agreement that was made to end the dispute, which is now legally finished, the two sides are not to go into details about who is right and who is wrong or defending ourselves or to discuss it. And I understand your concern, and I would be glad, if I could, to talk about it, but it's not permitted as part of the agreement to even go into that in any public way.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay. But the bottom line is Liberty Lobby was shut down, and the Spotlight had to, I guess, somehow, I don't know how they wrangled it, but we have the AFP now at least. But the thing is, there's a lot of important issues that were in the Spotlight and are now in AFP, thank goodness. But I don't know. I just wish these petty squabbles they wouldn't have to go to court.
I understand, and that's why you and all of us can be grateful that the dispute has ended.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Cage. All right. Moving right along, let's go to Jeff in Vermont. Jeff, you're on with Michael and Mark. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How are you doing tonight?
Good.
One thing, I'm going to make a comment about Ron Paul. One thing I do like about Ron Paul, and I've studied the matter closely, and if you were part of the Spotlight, you'll understand. He knows the Leo Strauss and the Henry Kissingers and their ideology. And I think one of the main focuses about anybody getting into office is getting the people that are there out of there. You know, if Ron Paul goes in there, he's not going to keep these neocons in there. And he's not going to have the American Enterprise Institute. He's not going to have PNAC. He's not going to have these people, all these think tanks that are always wrong and always getting us into these wars. He's not going to have those guys advising him.
Wait, Jeff, you know, it's wrong from whose perspective? In their perspective, it's not wrong, but you're right in that. He's not going to have them in there, and this is part of the reason why they're scared to death of him. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. And and if you guys probably read a lot, and I don't know that much about what he says about World War One and World War Two, but I think there's been a promotion of war, and it's a generation thing since probably Woodrow Wilson to go global and get into these wars and bring the United States into these. And I think we have a pretty good idea of who these people are. Doesn't matter what faith or religion they are. It doesn't, in some aspect, their ideology. But it's the ideology and the thinking process that these people obtain through our government, and how they purchase all the media outlets, you know, and how they portray the message to the people. And that's what the problem is. It's in with RBN and is education. And the only thing that stinks is we have a huge, huge fight ahead of us to get these people rooted not just in government but in our whole education and our schools. schools and in the media and in reporting and you name it, these and especially religion. If you think government is bad, look at these religious establishments that we have. Like you said, Beth Israel, what does that have to do with Christ? You know, I mean,
very little, I think.
Yeah, it's just people are so don't do the research. I'm not going to call them dumb because I don't like putting anybody down, but when you, I mean, come on, read the Bible. I mean, if that's what you believe in and that's what you're depending your life is, you're going to go to heaven or whatever. I mean, read the thing. You know, it doesn't have, you know, you know what I'm saying. It's just hard for me to realize that there's so much information out there. Nobody ever wants to research anything. Everybody takes the
No, Jeff, but let me stop here for a minute. Okay, and this is why, you know, both John and I, you know, John and I, we're always telling people to go out and bring people in, you know, get them to listen to RBN. Yes, it's a big job. Yes, it's a big battle, okay, but it's not just us. I mean, the listening audience has to do their part as well. If they're not literate, if they're not real good at talking, if they're not good at making their point, simply invite them to listen to RBN because it's easier. You know, most Americans are so dumbed down, they'll plop in front of a TV set and watch it and be mesmerized and hypnotized. Okay, most of them don't even read. So you know, if they can't read, then at least they can listen. And this is why I say, you know, everybody's got to do their share. I mean, let's face it. If all of us only woke up one person, and that person went and woke up another one, the magnification or the mathematics, if you will, would increase exponentially, and it wouldn't take us long to wake everybody up and take the country back. But everybody has to work together, because if everybody's just sitting there listening to it, and I've said this many times before, so they can go out and impress their friends at a cocktail party, this isn't going to work. You know, and I can tell a little bit of frustration in your voice, and believe me, I go through it every week because I don't just broadcast. Mm-hmm. I go out, Jeff, into the field, and I talk to these mesmerized Americans, and I'll tell you, there's some days I just want to pull my hair out because they're so dumb.
And it's your family members, too. Like, my mom wants like Edwards. I mean, come on. I'm like, Mom, what are you thinking? I mean, why do you like this guy? And she doesn't know. I just like him, or Barack Obama. They don't have anything to offer. They really don't. And I'm getting my mom.
Well, they're offering change, Jeff. You want to comment on this, Mark?
Well, yeah. The conversation just points up the great difficulty. People vote, and your mother, she thinks, well, Edwards looks attractive. He seems articulate. Seems like a nice guy. You know, one of the problems is that even if a person, whatever he says or however attractive is, you have no confidence and cannot have any confidence that that person will actually do what they say they're going to do. People voted for George W. Bush, millions of them, because they thought he was a conservative. But his policies have been a complete repudiation of any real principles of conservatism. And people vote for him because he says, well, I'm a Christian. Well, he took us into war in Iraq against long-standing Christian principles about war and against the opposition of the vast majority of even Christian leaders around the world. He has this own bizarre view, but people don't know. So your mother and other people, or many people, they say, well, he says he's a Christian, he looks, he smiles nicely, and so they vote for him, because they don't, that's all they can do. You know, in a way, it's not anybody's fault, because most people rightly are concerned about their own families. It's hard enough to make our families safe and secure, to have our children educated well, to do those kind of things. And we have a right to expect that our leaders, and I mean not just political but also cultural and so forth, are looking out for us. But we have been betrayed by our leaders. Our leaders have over and over again betrayed the confidence and betrayed the trust of the American people. And the problem is that the problem is now so deeply rooted that electing this man or that man or one election is going to make very little difference, because the essential problem is so deeply rooted in the way we do things and have been doing them for 60, 70, 80 years.
Jeff,
yeah?
You said that it's your mother that is likes John Edwards?
I am closely of and tailing her from that thought process, but it is just...
Well, you might mention to her, I'll tell you what, let's take a break. I'll hold you over until after the break, and then I'll tell you what to tell her next time you see her, okay?
Okay.
Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my special guest, Mark Weber, from the Institute for Historical Review, and we'll be back in three. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Call us with your 2 cents worth. We'll be right back.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
We're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. Short segment coming up to the bottom of the hour. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. And before I go back to Jeff and my guest, I want to remind everybody, I just sat back down in the chair from taking my lunchtime Cardivite. You want to give my name went blank. Don Wiskin a call at 877-928-8822. Again, that's 877-928-8822. Wonderful stuff. Take it every day. I swear by it, folks. And also John Onesti. Give him a call if you have any financial problems, you want to move some money around, you want to know what to invest in, what not. It's 505-296-2453. Again, that's 505-296-2453. And with that, let's get back here. Now, Jeff, the next time you call your mother or she calls you, and you and she says, "Well, I'm going to vote for John Edwards. I got a buddy in California that feels the same way." Tell her that behind the scenes, his handlers are Barry Bleckman, and that's Jimmy Carter's assistant director of United States Arms Control and Disarmament Agency, the founder and chairman of the Henry L. Stimson Center, and also Irving Blickstein, former Assistant Deputy Chief of Naval Operations for the RAND Corporation, which, as we know, is a CIA front. So there you go. Okay, next time you talk to your mother, tell her that's who's behind John Edwards' campaign.
And Henry Kissinger is behind John McCain's. He's there. And Norman Porteris is Giuliani's. You know, his estate, they're behind those guys for their political affairs committee. That's just, those. It's just, I mean, come on. It's just...
Well, you know, Jeff, this is why, and I mentioned this, Mark, I mentioned this to you off the air this morning. I woke up with this bone-chilling thought that hit me. And it's like I've got these eight smiling faces up here on this article. All of them are backed by these nefarious people behind the scenes, or CFR members, Henry Kissinger, Richard Armitage for John McCain, William Kristol, you know, Barack Obama's Zbigniew Brzezinski. And I had the thought, and I don't know whether this is true or not, but this is how my mind works. I had the thought that I said, wait a minute here. You know, is this really an election? Is this a charade that we think? I mean, are these people, you know, campaigning for us? Or think about this. Are all these candidates really campaigning for the New World Order, for the powers that be, to convince them which one would run or that would operate their agenda the best? Think about that.
You're totally right.
I'm not saying I'm right. I don't know. I had this thought this morning. I said, wait a minute. Maybe they're not even trying to convince us, you know. Maybe as far as what Mark's saying, the electoral vote and so forth, maybe there is vote fraud. Maybe they already know who's going to win, and they're just allowing the puppets to dance in front of them. They haven't really made their decision yet, and it's whichever one impresses them the most. I don't know, but that's a possibility. Mark, I know you're silent over there.
Well, I'm just – I mean, the presidential – presidents do make a difference. George W. Bush has carried out policies that I don't think any handler would ever approve of. For example, when he had a Supreme Court – nominee opening, he selected as his nominee for the Supreme Court Harriet Myers, who was his attorney. Now, no handler, no outside person would have advised him to do that. It was one of the stupidest things. The only qualifications this woman had was that it was George Bush's own personal attorney. He knew her. He liked her. That's why he chose her. Now, no handler would do that. George W. Bush, he has a philosophy of America and so forth, and he carries it out, and he does many things based upon what his own view. Sure, he's going to do this in conformity with people that have power in the society. And that's why it's important to look at what is the philosophical, what's the intellectual, ideological outlook of each of these candidates? What's their vision of America? How do they look at things? And in that regard, the candidates are all the same. Whether they have this handler or this advisor or that advisor, if their intellectual and ideological outlook is the way it is, there's not going to be any change, because the same principles, the same ideology that's been in place in America for 40, 50 years is not going to change if the people who are in power hold the same view and have the same and carry out the same outlook of what America should be. The question is, should America be an empire or a republic? And if a republic, what kind of republic? What do we want America to be like? The public and the politicians are confused because they want to be both. Most Americans, they want America to be America first, but they want to be fair to everybody. They want to be both individualists, and they want to be humanitarians, and they want to be patriots. The three things cannot be reconciled. There comes a time when there's a conflict between those things. And it comes down to, what kind of America do we want? Another way of looking at it is, look at societies in the past or around the world and say, what kind of society comes closest to what we want to envision? And our politicians, and even most Americans, and I even think to some degree here on this show, some of the people calling in, don't have a real intellectual, ideological sense of what the country should be beyond just saying, well, I want more freedom. Well, of course, everybody wants more freedom, but that's inadequate to look at the real deeply rooted problems that we have in our country.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. The change is nothing more than a different mask, or a different face. What would it be? A different face behind the same mask. How's that? All right, let's go to Don in Ohio. Don, you're on with Michael, and if you haven't finished up, we'll hold you over until after the break, and then after that will be Vince in Montana. So, Don, go ahead.
I was listening to Dave and Joyce this morning, and somebody had emailed them from Michigan saying that Ron Paul was on the absentee ballots. Ron Paul was not even listed, that they only, for that area, they only had uncommitted. And what really, you know, surprised everybody that supposedly, I mean, this is somebody's email that they sent into there saying that Barack Obama was not even listed on...
All right, let me stop. Let me stop. I got to take a break. We'll be back in three. I'll hold you over. Be back in 3 minutes with my guest, Mark Weber.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
All right, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, with my guest Mark Weber, and we've got Don from Ohio on the line. Okay, Don, you're saying as far as the Michigan ballots, they don't have Barack Obama or Ron Paul, either one, on there?
Yeah, I guess this is an email that came from a black preacher in Detroit, and he said that, you know, he was for Ron Paul, but he was really surprised that on the absentee ballots that Barack Obama was not even listed on it. So I don't know if it's true or not, but, you know, that's something to be found out. You know, if that's true, then, I mean, they've already got that one sort of fixed. You can either go with Clinton or, on the Democratic side, go with Clinton or undecided.
Nothing surprises me anymore. Okay, tell you what, anything else, Don?
Got nope, that's more? It. Have a good one.
All right, thanks for the input. Appreciate it. Okay, Mark, let's go to Vince in Montana. Vince, you're on with Michael and Mark. Go ahead.
Hey, yeah, what he just said is true, that the rest of them didn't, they pulled their names off the ballots because of the Democratic Central Committee throwing a fit about them going in early. And so that is just, all they have is a choice of Clinton and undecided. You know, but what they're doing here is they're changing management teams, and they view this very, the elites view this very much like a horse race. You've got Kissinger training McCain, and Brzezinski's nailing the shoes on Obama, and Hillary's getting her oats from Evelyn de Rothschild's wife. You know, it's just a change of management teams to these people. They know that they've got control of it. And I really didn't want to talk about the election today. What I wanted to bring to your attention, you can pursue this, is an article that came forward this morning concerning increases in gas taxes. Did you hear about that, Mike?
I believe that I heard John Stadtmiller mention something about that very briefly on his show this morning, Cash Flow.
Okay, I didn't hear the show, but, I mean, they want up to a 40-cent per gallon gas tax increase, but what's and then you can Google this transit panel urges gas tax increase. It's just came out, but they want up to a 40-cent gas tax increase. They haven't increased gas taxes since 93. But what's really disturbing about this thing is there is a group on this panel that they empowered. It's a 12-member Transportation Policy Review Study Commission. Came out and they came out with a final recommendation to raise the gas tax, but the commission's chairwoman, Transportation Secretary Mary Peters, and two other members put in an opposing report saying that they oppose gas tax increases and were instead issuing this dissenting opinion to call instead for private sector investment and toll roads instead. So here they're coming right out in the open, the Bush administration, and calling for the roads to be sold and tolled, roads that we've already paid for over the years. I mean,
excuse me just a minute, Mark. You want to jump in here if you want to, but under the website, what is it, safety-lu, this is nothing new. I believe that they are negotiating or trying to privatize 83 different freeways throughout the United States.
They're coming out in the open. The only thing that's new is that they're actually stating it in public documents now. So the selling of America, infrastructure, water systems, roads, electrical grids, it's all up for sale, folks. The wheels are coming off the jalopy.
Well, okay. Mark, you want to comment?
Well, my only comment is that nations don't live or die whether the taxes go up slightly higher or slightly lower. Gasoline in the United States is getting more expensive, but it's less expensive than it is in a lot of other countries. But that's not really a crucial issue, unless your concern primarily is my own budget and what I pay for gasoline. That's not really a larger issue. It's a secondary issue. Taxes and prices are going to definitely go up over the years because there's a finite amount of oil in the world, and the demand for oil is increasing all over the world as places like China and India develop more automobiles and so forth. But when people talk like this, it makes it sound as if they think that they have a right to low gasoline prices as some sort of constitutional guarantee. There's nothing like that. Gasoline is more expensive than most of the rest of the world.
My issue is not with the rising gas prices in a hyperinflationary environment. That's not my point. My point is the sale of public infrastructure.
Okay, well, you started by talking about gasoline taxes. I mean,
you didn't hear everything I said.
Out.
My point
infrastructure.
Was that
okay,
the Bush administration is recommending the privatization and tolling of the roads.
Right. I mean, that's not
avoid that gas tax increase.
Okay, but again, nations don't live or die because roads are more or less privatized. I mean, it'd be nice, I think, if you don't have to pay a toll on a road and if they're not privatized, but those are not essential to the direction of the country or essential about the character of the country. Those are very transitory things. And when we look at the larger sweep of history, it's really quite minor. The larger question is What direction do we want? What kind of society do we want? And whether this or that particular thing is privatized or not, I mean, a lot of countries have.
But Mark, wait a minute. I know what I don't want. If you're asking me what direction in our society I want to go, I don't want to go in the direction of having to pay a toll anytime I get on a freeway anywhere in this country.
Right. I don't like it either, obviously. But it's not okay. Some states they require tolls. The people of the state voted to have a toll road. And that's the way they voted. I mean, it's not convenient, but there's other alternatives. It's not a critical issue, really.
Right. Okay. I'll tell you what. All right. Thanks. Thank you for the call. I appreciate the input, Vince. We've got to move on. All right. Let's go to Wendell in Illinois. Wendell, you're on with Michael and Mark. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, yes. Mr. Weber. I've been around a long time, and I used to keep track of Mr. Cardo and his anti-Israel policies. And what I want to know is why are you men so against, why are you so anti-Semitic?
Okay, Wendell, that's not even the topic of this show today. And I've already had one call like that, Wendell. With all due respect to you, I'm going to let you go. Okay, sorry. Call back in another day. I'm not going to go into it. Let's go to Richard in Alabama. Richard, you're on with Michael and Mark. Hello, Richard. Going once, Richard. Going twice, Richard. Mark, you with me?
Yes, I'm with you.
Okay.
Maybe another caller.
Okay, I guess we're having some technical difficulties there on the calls. We're waiting on another one that's up there. I want to get to everybody, but I'll tell you, I don't want to get off topic going into this, you know, whoever this Willis Pardo thing or whatever. I believe you've already addressed that, Mark.
That's right.
Right. And so,
it's irrelevant to this program.
Exactly. It's irrelevant to the program. You've already addressed it. You've already mentioned you can't talk about it. So for people to continue to call in there and try to badger you on it's ridiculous. So, all right, moving right. Go ahead. Okay. We got Richard in Alabama now.
Alabama?
I just heard somebody. Hello.
Am I on?
Yes, you're on, Richard. Go ahead. You're on with Mark and Michael.
Oh. Well, Mr. Weber, the white people have a stupid definition of citizenship, and the other 90% of the planet has paternity as a definition of citizenship.
Yes, sir. You're making a very good point. I understand the point you're trying to make, and that's true. That's a big problem in America, is because most countries in the world, and America at one time, used to have a ethnic, racial, cultural sense of identity. We don't have that in America now, especially that's been very much the case since the 1950s, especially since the Cultural Revolution of the 1960s. Now, that's right. That makes America different than other countries in that regard, and it's also a reason why it's very hard for Americans to resist all these appeals to be a universal country and to interfere in places all around the world because we have this universal egalitarian ethic that's taken place now in our society.
Well,
I mean, it's one of the differences between an empire and a republic. It happened in the Roman Empire, and it's happening in our country. The people who were the core of the state originally had a strong ethnic cultural sense of who they are, and that was true of America in the early days as well, but we've lost that. And an empire doesn't have any cultural or racial identity. It doesn't even have a real borders. It's like an octopus, and that is a big reason why America today is very different than the America of 100 years ago or the America of the founding fathers.
Yeah. Is there any Is there any way we can get the word hypocrite back into our grammar? Like,
go ahead.
There's a lot of folks who aren't white who criticize us and belittle us, and yet you say, "Well, if I wanted to immigrate to your country, would you let me?"
That's right.
Like, but if I wanted to immigrate to Kenya, would the Kenyan people allow me to immigrate and get citizenship?
Oh, very true. Mexico, for example, treats illegal immigrants to their country very ruthlessly. But they want us to welcome illegal immigrants from Mexico to our country. This is hypocrisy. But we can't be responsible for what Mexico does or Kenya or any other country. We have to decide what our rules are going to be here. But one of the characteristics, one of the features of America in the last 10, 15, 20 years is a lack of any seriousness about our laws. Millions of people brazenly break our immigration laws being here illegally. And the politicians, and even most Americans, don't want to really enforce our laws because we want to both be fair and humanitarian, and we want to uphold the law. But we can't do both. And that's why politicians are all basically talking about some way to legalize illegal people. And all that will do, of course, is give a green light to yet more people coming into the country illegally. But that's what America has a long tradition because of the of our history of trying to be fair, trying to be make it good for everybody. But there comes a time when a line has to be drawn and say, this is where we draw the line. And Americans are very reluctant to draw that line because it means sacrifice and it means problems. And one of the big reasons that illegal immigration exists in America is because businessmen want cheap labor. Everybody wants cheap labor. But they also want to uphold the law, and you can't do both. We can't do both. You know, it's the same principle that businessmen have that also allowed slaves to be brought into the United States. Slaves were brought to the United States from Africa because some businessmen benefited from cheap labor. That's really cheap labor. They're slaves. And the founding fathers, most of them knew that there would be long-term dangerous consequences for the country of bringing in slavery. And many Americans realize somewhere in the back of their head that bringing in millions of people from countries that are very different than ours is going to have a long-term bad consequences for America, but they don't ruthlessly or feel strongly enough about it to really vote for or to act strongly against that taking place. You know, the largest demonstration of people ever in the western part of the Western Hemisphere was last year in Los Angeles. 500,000 Mexicans and other immigrants demonstrated to make sure that there would be no enforcement of America's immigration laws to help illegal immigration into this country. 500,000 people! The demonstrations, such as they were, by people who wanted to enforce our immigration laws, were tiny and pathetic. Because the vast majority of the American people just hope and trust that our leaders will sort this whole thing out. But they don't. They don't care what the American people think. The public opinion polls show overwhelmingly that the public wants a grip and a stop to illegal immigration in the United States. But our political leaders just say, screw you, they don't care. They just go along doing what they do because they see, in the case of the Democrats, they see illegal immigrants as potential future voters. And for many Republican leaders, they see them as sources of cheap labor. And that's a big problem in our society.
Well, I'll tell you what, they're doing something about it in Arizona, Mark. They just passed a law that went into effect the first of the year.
That's right. There are initiatives like that. That's right. Then people do, from time to time, in certain places, they pass these initiatives. That's fine. I understand that. But they're very limited, and they're local, and they have only a very limited effect. Look, even if immigration stopped today all around the United States, the basic demographic and cultural direction America is going on would continue because of the way the demographics are already here in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not convinced that the majority of the illegals coming in here are coming in here because they want to live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. I personally took a trip down to Mexico a couple of months ago, and I interviewed some of the people in the villages down there. And they told me that they will send somebody up here to work because the jobs have a higher paying wage, but ultimately they send the money back home, build a house for their family, and they go back.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Of course.
Okay. I'm not saying all of them do, but
yeah, but
you know,
but so what? I mean, I don't. What's the point? I mean, I don't understand what the point is. That's always been true in American history. People didn't immigrate to the United States in the 19th century or in the early 20th century from Europe because they cared about the land of the free and the home of the brave. They came because they wanted to do better for themselves and their immediate family. That's nothing new. Mexicans are coming to the United States in much the same way that people have come as immigrants.
But you don't think that if the rest of the states of the Union followed suit and implemented the same regulations that the state of Arizona did, that ultimately we'd end the problem?
First of all, no, it won't work for a lot of reasons. I mean, the state of California voted some years ago for a very sweeping measure that would have denied state benefits to illegal immigration, illegal immigrants. And the courts threw it out, and the leaders of both political parties denounced it. Yes, it would make a difference if that were to happen. But those kinds of measures, and we've seen in American history over the last 30, 40 years, little efforts like this, but they make very little difference in the long run, and eventually they're overwhelmed by reality, by facts on the ground.
I see. Is Richard from Alabama? Are you still on, Richard?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I forgot you were there.
I want Mark Weber to talk about the mandatory insurance law. In Alabama, nobody can enforce mandatory insurance against the Mexicans and other people driving on our roads with foreign licenses.
Yeah, but it's outrageous. We give benefits, as it were, to people who break our laws. When a country does that, it's not serious. It's not a serious country anymore. We're not really serious about our laws, because no laws are as important to the character and welfare and the future of a country than its immigration laws. But you see, if our police and so forth started rounding up people who are here illegally, you would see on television scenes of crying babies and people being put on in police vans and rounded up and put on railway trains. And the American people don't have much stomach for that. And the propaganda machine would go in overtime to try to convince Americans that it's terrible to do that.
The Perculite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Perculite, with its exclusive black Perculite filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Perculite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Perculite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. 9200.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock-bottom pricing, with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time, and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times. Right now, you can join the club for only $10, a one-time lifetime fee that gets you some of the best prices anywhere on preparedness products. Please use the coupon code Club Radio when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to safecastleroyal.com. That's safecastleroyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code, or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
Gasoline prices are out of control. Are you tired of giving your hard-earned dollars to the major oil companies? Did you know that the oil companies have developed special products to increase mileage in their own vehicles? Very few customers even know such products exist. SFR has obtained this technology that is backed by testing the oil companies have run, yet they don't want you to know about them. This product is made right here in the United States and is not a typical gas treatment found at your local store. SFR lasts up to 6 months. SFR works so well that it even improves mileage on new cars. SFR recently ran this ad, and the response from all over the U.S. was so incredibly strong that we're allowing listeners to receive a free bottle when one is purchased at our regular price of $9.99. If you're not completely delighted with the savings, we'll refund the purchase price and shipping. Share the oil company's secret and get SFR now. Call 888-USE-SFR-1. That's 888-873-7371 today.
All right, we're back. Final segment of the American Awakening. Your host, Michael Herzog, with my guest, Mark Weber. And, Mark, before I get back to you, I've got to take a quick minute here. I've got Fred Smart, a host, hosts another show on the network. He's got an update for us on the recount in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Fred.
Hey, Michael. Just for the record, this is really critical breaking information. The Granny Warriors have raised close to $63,000 for the recount. Everybody knows it. It's online. PayPal account, somebody sent in a message, a suspicious flag message to suspend, and they froze the account today, mid-afternoon, late afternoon, about 45 minutes prior to the deadline, which is 3 o'clock Eastern time. We couldn't submit any more money to that PayPal account. So we have gotten, We the People Foundation involved, have gotten involved, and if anybody has any pull with PayPal, the story is right now sort of up in the air. But the money has been raised by the grassroots, and they're trying to pull a fast one on preventing us from...
Somebody has caused PayPal to shut it down.
Yeah. And you know, it's a shame, but we've got a lot of people. If you could just broadcast this, $63,000 was raised. All we needed was 55.6, and we the people was willing to stand up, wire funds even, and more snafus are coming down the pike. So just have people on alert and aware this is going on. I hope we can pull a rabbit out of the hat and get this done, because we have shown good faith, and Mr. Albert Howard signed a note saying that he would be good for the entire amount of money that was put in writing early this week, late last week. He's the guy for the Republican ticket on whose name right. This recount is being processed.
All right. Well, very good. I got to let you run, Fred.
Thanks,
thank
Michael.
You so much for the update.
Appreciate
on that.
It.
Hang on, though. They want you to hang on at the network, Fred. He may, it's probably John wants to have you come on as well. Okay, Mark, in closing here, okay, what can we do in the interim, in the not-too-distant future, to try to start turning things around? What's that?
The main thing is awareness and education. And I think that it's critical that people have a strong historical sense of our country and who we are, because only that enables us to know where we're going. I urge people to check out our website, ihr.org, and to because nothing's going to change until fundamental power paradigms change, and that's not going to happen until there's a really greater change in the country.
Right. Okay. Well, Mark, I want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing a couple hours with us. It's been very enlightening, at least for me, and I'm sure for a lot of my listening audience, and I will certainly have you up again, sir. Okay?
Thank you very much, Michael.
All right, thank you, Mark.
Bye-bye.
Mark Weber, folks, the Institute for Historical Review. A lot of good information there. You know, I apologize to that second caller, Wendell, but the fact of the matter is it doesn't make any difference how many callers call in and talk about Willis Pardo or the spotlight or whatever. The man cannot talk about it. So, you know, I apologize for cutting that call short, but there's no sense in wasting valuable airtime on something that the man can't talk about. At any rate, let's see what I got going here. Fred Smart called in. He's hanging on. He may make that announcement again, and John may allow him to elaborate a little bit more on this, the first part of the National Intel Report. Again, I want to remind folks that coming up tomorrow, I asked the question, do we own ourselves? And if not, who does? I'm going to go into that. We'll not have any guests tomorrow. I'm going to handle that one on my own. I want to thank Don in Oregon for giving me the valuable information I need to put that out there. End of another day. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Stay tuned for the National Intel Report with John Stadtmiller. Remember, today's Tuesday. It's Bob Chapman Day, and I will see you folks again tomorrow. Have a good rest of the day, and bye for now. A price. And I